Okay, so in Yeridei Yosim in Kuf Tzadi Dalet, we encounter the dinim of Yoledes, a woman who gives birth, and the tuma that sets in by a Yoledes. Now, what is interesting to note is that this is one of the situations where what it says in the Torah has really nothing to do with Lamaisa. Right? The Torah says that Isha ki Sazria v'yolda Zachar, it's even the beginning of a parasha. So if you have a Zachar, so then there are Min HaTura, there is Yimei Tuma of 7 days, no? Zayin Yomim. And then Yimei Tahara. Yimei Tahara means any blood that you'll see is going to be Tahar, right? For how long in the Torah? 33 days. Right? That's the din d'oraisa of leida by a zachar. Min haTorah leida by a nekeva v'tama shvu'ayim, right? That is 14 days, and then shishim yom v'sheshes yomim, 66 days. Basically, by a zachar, everything is doubled. But by a nekeva, everything is doubled. That there are 66 days of tahara as opposed to 33 days of Tahara for a Zachar. That is the Din D'Oraisa. By the way, Tosis in Krisos on Daf Yud asks Akasha, why do I need a din of Tuma by Leidas Zachar at all, that she's Tumeya for 7 days? Lucha Ora, she saw blood when she had the baby. And she sees blood when she has the baby, so she should be Tumeya for 7 days anyway, Altsnida. Why does the Torah have to invent a new din of Tuma by a Yoledes Zachar at all? That's Tosis' Kasha in Krisos. Tosis has a few different answers over there. Basically, we would have thought that we should give 14 days of Tuma. That's one answer Tosis gives. It could be we're dealing with a situation of what's called a Leida Yabeshta, that you're giving birth and there is absolutely no blood. That's another situation. But that gets us involved in another big machlokes about, is that possible? Is it possible to give birth without blood or not? That's a machlokes as to whether we have efshar l'psichas hakever b'lodam or e efshar l'psichas hakever b'lodam, which is something that we will deal with in Se'if Beis of Shulchan Aruch. Okay? But, b'kitzur hama'aseh, min haTorah, this is what we have. The Gemara does address that there's a funny situation that you could be a Yoledes Bezov. It's a strange situation. It's technically possible that a woman could give birth during her Zava period, and then you would need Shiva Nikiyim in addition to the days of Tuma. Right? That is possible, but it's rare. Kol zeh min haTorah. Midrabanan, for us, right, what do we have? So for us, we have the following situation. Every woman who gives birth, no matter what, we treat, right? For us, every woman who gives birth, no matter what, we treat as if she was a Yoledes Bezov. Each woman who gives birth, no matter what, we view it like she is going to be giving birth in the middle of Ziva period. And therefore, she requires Zayin Nikiyim. See, Min HaTorah, the days of Tuma, don't require any Nikiyim at all, no? But for us, once we have the Chumad Reb Zera, that even a Isha Sheros HaTipas Dam Kechardal, we always give it Zayin Nikiyim. So we treat every woman who gives birth like she is a Yoledes Bezov. Point one. Point two is, we got rid of the din of Yimei Tahara. 33 days for a Zachar, 66 days for a Nekeva. Right? L'didan, there is Ein Yimei Tahara. It doesn't exist. Any blood that she sees is going to be Tamei. That's it. There's nothing to talk about. All Dan is Dan Tamei, no matter what. This is practical Judaism. Now, yes, Ephraim.
But there are still nafkaminas there.
There are nafkaminas.
In terms of practical, also, if it's done Tamar or it's done Tamar.
Maybe. We'll talk about that in 2 minutes. I don't know if there's a nafka mina or not. We'll have to talk about it. We'll get there. Ellie.
Does it mean that the dam is tame, or that you still have to wait shiva nikiyim?
That means that we wait shiva nikiyim for every drop of blood. Right? Min ha-toira, you could have bia with your wife when she is mamish bleeding during these, let's say, 66 days here in the keva, right? But for us, it doesn't exist. Any time that there's blood, we're going to keep shiva nikiyim, right? We are not bo'el on dam tohar. That's our practice. Now, like most things in Yiddishkeit, there's, yeah, Dovi. No, absolutely not. You don't have to wait 66 days. No, but if you happen to bleed during these 66 days, it will be tummy blood. We'll talk about lemaisa in a few minutes. No, definitely not. But any blood that you see during this time will be, will treat it, it's the same as dam tummy. Yeah, Rafi. Now, there is a machlekes harishonim what this means. The shita of Ramban is that this is part of Chumrah de Reb Zeira. The Ramban writes in Perek Zayin of Hilchos of Halacha Chaf that once Chumrah de Reb Zeira was instituted, that we sit Zayin Nikiyim for any blood whatsoever. So even Dam Tohar is included in Chumrah de Reb Zeira. Even on the level of Dairaisa, of the blood during these 66 days is Tahar. But after Chumra de Reb Zeira, says the Ramban, it becomes Dam Tameh. And after Chumra de Reb Zeira, you have to keep Zayin Nikiyim. It's all part of Chumra de Reb Zeira, according to the Ramban. 1 second. The Rambam disagrees with the Ramban. And the Rambam tells us that there were certain places that they are Baal on Dam Tohar. Certain places are not Baal and Dam Tohar. It's a machlokas between Shinar and Ashkenaz and Sarfas. He gives you like, the Rambam sometimes does that. No, he talks about different countries. He says where they have the minhag or not. According to the Rambam, it's a chumra, right, haga'onim. It happens that the Rambam said it applied in certain places, didn't apply in other places, but for us, I don't think there's a place in the world. I think I actually wanted to ask Johnny Cohen about what they do in Tehman. But my impression is that there's no place in the world that does not hold of that is Baal and Dam Tohar. Right? We're not Baal and Dam Tohar everywhere. But for the Rambam, it's not Al Chumrah de Reb Zeira. For the Rambam, it's a different Chumrah. It's a Chumrah that was instituted Bimei HaGaonim. Right? The Gaonim basically lived like between the 8th century, let's say, and the 11th or 12th century. It's unclear exactly when they started, unclear exactly when they ended, but there certainly was a tekufa of the Gaonim. During the period of the Gaonim, they instituted this Chumrah according to the Rambam. Ephraim, now you have a question?
Yeah, like how did the Gaonim or establish that be more machmer than the Torah? The Torah tells explicitly.
Good Kasha, great Kasha, excellent Kasha. Hold it for like 10 minutes. And we'll try to address it. Okay? What Ephraim is asking is that if there's a din in the Torah of 66 days you made Tahara, or 33 days you made Tahara, right? So we have a principle from the Taz, no? And the Taz tells us that rabbinic authority is limited, right? This is for you, Zering. Rabbinic authority is limited, and the rabbis can't make a law that goes against a Beferish Pasuk in the Chumash. So the Torah says it's Dam Tohar, right? So then the rabbis couldn't tell us it becomes Tamei. Right? That Lechora is the same Kasha they asked on the Chumrah de Reb Zeira, if you remember, no? We quoted way back when from the Shevet HaLevi, a little essay about how to address that by Chumrah de Reb Zeira, but the same Kasha can be asked on the Chumrah, on Chumrah Sagaonim for the Rambam, that there is no longer Dam Tohar. Yaakov Grun.
Do they function the same way?
I mean, you see, it's unclear. If it's based on Chumrah de Reb Zeira, it's something that the women came up with. Right? If it's based on Chumrah HaGaonim, it could be that the rabbis instituted it, not the women. In the Shevet HaLevi's essay, there might be a chiluk, no? Because for the Shevet HaLevi, one of the only heterim is because women, they're not Metzumah Peruvu anyway, so they could accept something, and Mamela, the husbands are bound by what they did. Right? If it's a Chumr of Ga'onim that came up by men, it's that answer will fall away. But okay, whatever. Yeah?
Within the Ramban, isn't there a machlokas between the Torah and the Beis Yosef? Meaning, the way the Torah understands the Ramban is that this is the Chlal, the Gezerah. It's all, when they were both, Gezerah himself was Gozer on this as well.
Right.
In the Beis Yosef, it's not.
I mean, the pashtus in the Ramban is that the reason for Chumra de Reb Zera is because we might make a mistake.
Right.
Right? So Dam Tohar also, there was some concern that we might make a mistake. Because let's say day 80, like 14 plus 66 equals 80. So between 80 and 81, you might make a mistake. Right? So therefore, they decide to Aser it. Or between day 14 and 15, you might make a mistake. People might count wrong. Right, so therefore they answered it. So it's all the same svara of Chumrah Dereb Zera. I didn't remember a fundamental difference between the Beis Yosef. Again, I can't say I spent that much time reading this, but I don't remember a fundamental difference between the way the Torah presented it and the way the Beis Yosef understood it. It's just that the Ramban is telling us that the yesod of Chumrah Dereb Zera is that you might make a mistake. Right? According to the Rambam, L'cha'ora, we can say that's the pshat in Chumrah Dereb Zera. You can't say that whenever you might make a mistake, right? You have to say, according to the Rambam, the Chumrah Dereb Zera is really a possibility that you'll be a Zava. In this situation, there's no real possibility that you'll be a Zava, so it could be Chumrah Dereb Zera doesn't apply.
Right. Okay, I mean, I thought
from the Beis Yosef, it was mashma
that
after,
like, when he quotes the Ramban, the way the Torah quotes Ramban, he says, like,
Klomar and the Ruh,
and then he changes a little bit, and that first line, he says,
Oh, I see. No, Kosar Ban והרהו בכלל חומש החמיר בנוס ישראל.
Right.
כלומר בכלל מי דאמר רב זירה.
Right. And this is החמיר
It's the same, right, that's what I'm saying. It's the same svara of the Gezerah.
Right.
In other words, what you're saying is it could be that Reb Zera didn't. It could be Reb Zera didn't institute anything, though. Reb Zera is reflecting what people did, right? That women came up with this chumrah, right? And women had a svara for the chumrah, so therefore Reb Zera says it's a good thing.
Right. I mean, right? I'm not sure the Yosef is going with that, because the Yosef later says that.
Again,
they quote the rabbi who's like who asked to sign it.
Didn't work on those details so much. What I'm saying is that the Ramban is basically saying that whatever the Chumrah of Reb Zera is Lamaisa applies to Dam Tohar Lamaisa. The Rambam is saying that Dam Tohar Lamaisa is a Chumras HaGa'onim, it's not based on Chumrah Dereb Zera. Fine. Now, what are the nafgaminas between the Rambam's approach and the Ramban's approach? So, domani, that there are three possible nafgaminas that I'm aware of, right? The Dagome Revava basically discusses whether a woman who goes to the mikvah during after she has a baby girl, right? Now, generally speaking, the mitzias is after women have babies, it takes a while for them to become tahora. It could take usually 4, 5, 6 weeks to become tahora. Okay, fine. But let's say a woman somehow she becomes tahora earlier, and she goes to the mikvah. Let's say after 21 days, she goes to the mikvah. And then 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, right, what's 21 plus 28? 21 plus 28 is 49. So 49 is well within 80. Then she becomes a nida again, no? So she's going to go to the mikvah a second time. When she's going to the mikvah the second time, we know that really the dam that she saw is technically, according to Din Do'ei Raisa, is dam tohar. That we know. She's going to a mikvah this time because we're not bo'al on dam tohar. Great. But it's a minhag that we're not bo'al on dam tohar. So tell me, when I go to the mikvah for dam tohar, do I make a bracha? Do I make a bracha when I go to the mikvah? So that's it. So who says no? Right? So Ephraim Alagoyev tells us no. And the Dog Omer Vava would basically agree with you, no? Dog Omer Vava on the side of the Shulchan Aruch writes, Im koze lo tvarech ala tvila, de lo shayich levarech v'tzivanu bedavar sha'afilo rabbanan lo gozru rak minhag ba'alma. Right? In other words, says the Dog Omer Vava, don't make a bracha when you go to the mikvah, because it's only a minhag. The Pischei Tshuva and Sifkat and Beis quotes that the Tshuva Me Ahava was masuk about it, no? Then he quotes that the Chsam Sofer said that you do make a bracha, because this is a different sort of minhag, but there's on the Pischei Tshuva, Sifkat and Beis, that according to the Chsam Sofer, since a minhag b'sheval taisa, therefore, you will recite a bracha when you go to the mikvah. This issue l'cha'ora might depend on the machlokas Rambam and Ramban. If the Ramban is correct that dam Torah is bechlal chumra de Reb Zeira, so we make brachas all the time. But if we go to the mikvah chumra de Reb Zeira, we recite a bracha, no? But if the Rambam is correct, it's a different chumra, it's a chumra that was instituted by Meha Gaonim, so then we have to question whether there should be a bracha that's recited. In other words, it seems to be a different type of dam. That's l'cha'ora, issue number one. Issue number two, right, so we could say that this is an issue of Dog Omer Vava versus the Chasam Sofer in the Pischei Tshuva Sifkat and Beis. Issue number two is also quoted in the Pischei Tshuva Sifkat and Beis, which is, ordinarily we mention that if a person's mishamish with a tahura and she becomes tameya be'emtza tashmish, so ordinarily the person is going to be poresh from his wife, but you can't be poresh be'ever chai, you have to wait actually yamas ha'ever and then be poresh. That's the Gemara in Shavuos that we spoke about in the context of Dan Besulam. The Nod Yehuda has a chiddush that if a woman be'emtza tashmish says that she's tameya, but the Tumah is only Tumah. This is in the Pischei Tshuva Sifkat and Beis also. But the Tumah is only Tumah of Dam Tohar. So says the Nodi Yehuda, you're allowed to be Purish Be'ever Chai. You're allowed to be Purish Be'ever Chai. Again, the Nodi Yehuda is treating it like it's not regular Dam. It's not regular Dam Tomei. L'cha'ora, that makes sense according to the Rambam, if it's a later Gezerah. But if it's a Gezerah according to the Ramban, from Reb Zeira, if it's part of Chumid Reb Zeira, so then L'cha'ora, it should be the same din as any Isha who says she's Tumei of Emsa Tashmish for us. The third issue that might come up over here, that might be a Nafgamina, is found in the Taz Sifkatin Aleph. Right, issue two is Shami Shama Tahora V'Amra Nitmesi. And issue number three is like this. Let's say a woman gives birth, right? And she gives birth to Nekeva. She has a girl. Mazel tov, make a kiddush, amazing, right? And right after she has the baby girl, so that she's not bleeding anymore, right? Pilei plaim, right? She's not bleeding, givaldik. So she keeps shiva nekiyim right after the baby is born. Right after the baby is born, she does a hefsek tahara, she has shiva nekiyim, right? And then, after she finished her shiva nekiyim, during the next 7 days of those 14, then she sees dam. During the 7 days of which are yemei tuma, she sees dam. Does that mess her up? Is that soser minyana? She already had her shiva nekiyim. Usually when I'm done with shiva nekiyim, I'm done. But then she has dam tomei after the shiva nekiyim. Does that mess her up or not? Now, by the way, the fact that she does her shiva nekiyim during the 7 days, the first 7 days after giving birth to a girl, this is really a machlokes between Abaye and Rava in the Gemara. Right, this is called Yemei Leida She'eno Roa Bahamdam. This is Nida Daf Lamed Zayin. The days of Leida, if she doesn't see dam, is it olala? Right? Machlekes Abaye and Rava. Abaye says that you may lay the she'ena ola behem dam is alu la lezayin nikiyim. Rava says that you may lay the she'ena ola behem she'ena rabbein dam is einan olala. Those 7 days don't count according to Rava. Like most things in Yiddishkeit, it's a machlokas. How we paskin. Whoa, what would you say, Rabbi? No? Machlokas? Abaye and Rava. How should we paskin? Machlokas, Abaye and Rava. General Judaism? What? We paskin like Rava. There's only 6 cases that we paskin like Abaye. My son just had to memorize this because he's learning Yiddish Lomi Das. I gave it away, right? But it's very hard to memorize. What are the 6 cases? So we have an acronym, Yal Kegam. These are the 6 times in Shas I paskin like Abaye, right? You think so? I'm not sure. Because Rabbeinu Tam says that the Lamed means that this is an exception. Lamed means that this is one of the times I paskin like Abaye. So Rabbeinu Tam says that the Lamed is not Yimei Leida. Right? What are the 6 things? It's what? Rabbeinu Tam says it's Lechi Omi Me'elav. And the other Rishonim say Lamed is Yimei Leida. So according to the other Rishonim, that means I pass like Abaye here. According to Rabbeinu Tam, basically, I pass like Rava. Right? That's what emerges. So there are 6 cases in Shas, Yal, Kegam, Yesh, Lamidas, Eid Zoymim, Lechi, or Yimei Leida, Kinyin, Peres, Kikin, Aguf, Gili, Das, Begitin, and Mumochim, Nevelos. That's also Machlokas. Yeah. Rabbeinu Tam paskins like Abaye. I actually forgot to bring my Gemara. Okay, let's assume you're right. Whatever it is, Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and the other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam paskins, right, that the... No, I thought because Rabbeinu Tam says it's only the Lachi Omei Me'elav. I think Rabbeinu Tam, if I remember correct. Whatever, I have to look it up again. Because you just confused me, I just confused me, someone confused me. But Bekitzer Ma'aseh, right, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you can't keep Shiva Nikiyim during the first 14 days after. But according to the other Rishonim, you can. Okay, so let's take this case slowly. We paskin like the Rishonim, who assume that you may lay the she'ena rabbah, and this alulala zayin nekim, that I can keep shiva nekim during these first 14. So let's, right, that's how we paskin, and Rabbeinu Tam paskins that I can't. Fine, so let's say I keep shiva nekim, and then I see dam after. So what happens? So there is a machlokes between the Taz and the Bach, no? The Taz and Sifka and Aleph, it's a machlokes Ramban and Rosh in the Torah. There's a machlokes Taz and Bach lahalacha, right? The Taz basically says that if you see dam in the next 7, in the second set of 7, so the Taz says, avada, she's going to be Tameya. Because if she's Tameya, right, if you have to keep Shiva Nikiyim based on dam Tohar, certainly dam Tameh, you have to keep Shiva Nikiyim. So the Taz paskins that if in this situation, right, the Taz says that she is Tameya. The Bach paskins that she is Tahoira. If you read it slowly and carefully, what the Taz is really saying is that the Shiva, the 7 days of Nikiyim, followed by the next 7 days, these 7 days of Dam Tameh, the Taz is saying, that's no worse than Chumrah de Reb Zeira. Because if Chumrah de Reb Zeira applies to Yimei Tohar, so it should apply to here also. That's what the Taz says. But the Bach disagrees. The Bach says no. Right? The Bach says, that's not true. Right? In other words, it could be that the Bach really holds like the Rambam. And the Bach is saying that the reason I'm machmir during Yimei Tohar is because there is... the reason I'm machmir during Yimei Tohar is because there's a Chumr of the Gaonim. But the Chumr of the Gaonim didn't apply to this Dam that's Tameh. What I'm trying to suggest is a third Nafgamina between the Rambam and the Ramban, that it basically ends up being the same as the Smachlokas Taz and Bach in Sifkot and Aleph. Ephraim. The Bach is saying that when Chazal said Chumra de Reb Zera, they're only talking about Dam Nida and Dam Ziva. Blood that's potentially Nida blood and potentially Ziva blood. Blood that's Dam Yoledes, that is not part of the parasha at all. It's not part of Chumra de Reb Zera. Therefore, Dam Yoledes, after Shiva Nakim, it's not going to mess me up. I kept my Shiva Nakim, it won't mess me up. The Rambam only said it by Dam Tohar. There's a special Chumrah that Dam Tohar will treat like Dam Tameh. But there was never a Chumrah that was instituted on Dam Tameh. The Chumrah of the Gaonim is only on Dam Tohar. That's at the back.
Chumrah on what? What is it?
That I treat Dam Tohar like it's Nida blood or Zava blood. But Dam Yoledes, I don't treat like Nida blood or Zava blood. She's needed for 14 days. That's true. So she can't go to the mikvah until after day 14. She needs Shiva Nikiyim, and she can't go to the mikvah until after day 14. But let's say she got it. She had Shiva Nikiyim right after the baby is born, and then she sees some dam.
Okay, so she should be Tumea again?
No, because that dam, says the Bach, doesn't make me Tumea again. I only become Tumea again on blood that could potentially be Nida blood or Zava blood. Blood that is Tumea blood, it's a rare occurrence, and everybody knows what it is. So therefore, the Bach says that blood doesn't require Shiva Nikiyim. Shiva Nikiyim is only required on Nida blood, Zava blood, and then there's a Chumrah of the Gaonin that's required on Tahar blood. But there's no Chumrah at all on Dam Tumea the second week. No, it's not Nida. It's not Nida. A woman who gives birth, practically speaking, it's like Nida, but Umaisa, it's not Nida. Nida blood has Shiva Nikiyim for us. This blood doesn't have Shiva Nikiyim.
You say it's not from the blood from the Makar?
What?
It's not from the Makar, it's not from the...
It is from the Makar, but the Torah says that this blood, after the baby, is a new category of blood, and this new category of blood, says the Bach, is not included in the Chumrah.
But it's since when do we make the kibbutz between this kind of blood or not? It's always blood from the core.
You know what? Since when do I have 14 days? 14 days is a new invention. Right? Once I'm inventing things, it's a new din. The Torah is Mechadish, a new din.
Or there's two
Makars. Well, it's Machlokes Rav and Levi in the Gemara, where we don't understand that. Yeah. The second afkamina is in middle of Tashmish Hamita. If the woman says she had Dam Tohar that came out, are you allowed to separate Be'ever Chai or not? The Noda Yehuda says I could separate Be'ever Chai, because the Noda Yehuda says it's not regular blood. It's not regular Dam. She's not a regular Nida. It's a new category. Those who disagree with the Noda Yehuda would say that no, Lamaisa, once you say your Tameh, it's included in Chumrah de Reb Zera, presumably like the Ramban says, and therefore we have to treat it like full-fledged Nida blood. That she feels like she's bleeding, but we know based on the schedule that the blood that she's experiencing now is Dam Tohar, because it's, let's say, 50 days after a baby girl was born. Right? Fine. Now, okay, there was a minhag out there. So let's get back into Shulchan Aruch. Let's learn Kuf Tzadi Dalet Sif Aleph, and we'll try to learn Kuf Tzadi Dalet Sif Beis today. Okay? Try to go quickly. Kuf Tzadi Dalet Sif Aleph. Yoledes, who doesn't see dam, is Tamea Kenida, Ben Yolda Chai, Ben Yolda Mace, Vafilu Nathel. Okay, that's a din. Even if you have a Nathel, still, that your Tamea, that's still considered a Leda. V'kama heim yimei tumasa, achsha bezman hazeh, kol ha-yodos chashuvos yodos kizol, yodos bezov, and you require shiva nikiyim, right, etc. Fine, nothing so exciting. Then the Ramah says, yesh mekomos, right, let's skip to the Ramah. There are certain places that they have a practice, she'ein toivlin tochar ba'im lezachur shmonim l'nekeva. There were certain places that had a practice that they would not go to the mikvah until day 80 if you had a girl, or day 40 if you had a boy. Says the Rambam about these places, that you know where they got it from? The Karaites. Right? The Rambam says that they got it from the Karaites, because the Karaites understood the pasuk in the Torah of Teshev Bidmei Tahara, right? That she should sit, the blood is Tahara, but she should just sit there, in other words, don't go to the mikvah. Right? That the Chafza of Dam, this is again, this is Karaite exposition, the Chafza of Dam, Teshev Bidmei Tahara, the Chafza of Dam is Tahara. It's Tahar, but the woman does not go to the mikvah. That was Teshev. That's what the Karaites understood. Rabbinic Judaism did not understand this way. Rabbinic Judaism understood that Teshev B'dmei Tahara means that she is Tahora, the Dam is Tahora, everything is Tahar. The only thing is Teshev, she should sit, she should not eat Kudshim and Truma because she has the status of a Tevulas Yom Aruch. That's Rabbinic Judaism. By the way, Karaites were very not into the concept of Tevul Yom, no? The concept of Tevul Yom is a concept that the Karaites seem to reject. The Rambam, because he lived in communities that had Karaites near him, so the Rambam was aware of the Karaite practice. He says, oh, you're telling me there's a practice not to go to the mikvah until day 40 or day 80? It's an evil practice, it's an awful practice, a Karaite practice, get rid of it. Right? If you read halachic literature, it's interesting, those who lived near Karaites would get very upset about certain minhagim, the other people didn't bat an eyelash. In a few places, the Shach gets very upset about minhagim being from Karaites, because the Shach lived in Vilna. Right next to Vilna, there was a small town called Kshraka. There's an expression in Yiddish, a Kshrakarov, who means a bum, a paskunyaka, a jerk of a guy who was a Karaite. Kshraka was a famous Karaite town in Lithuania, right near Vilna. The Shach knew these people, so the Shach sometimes tells us certain minhagim are Karaite practices. The Rambam lived near Karaites, right? So the Rambam could tell us these are Karaite practices. If you don't live near the Karaites, if you live in Kshraka, right, like the Ramah does, or Kazmires, right, wherever they didn't live, let Jews live in all of Krakow, just going to live in Kazmires, right? So if I live in Kazmires, so then I never saw a Karaite in my life, right? So then I have, oh, there's a minhag out there of waiting 40 days or 80 days. Sometimes you have an old minhag that people have. Danny Rapp told me, he once went to be Menachem Avol at somebody, and the mother who was sitting Shiva, the woman sitting Shiva, said that in her family the practice is that when you sit Shiva, you put a white tablecloth on the table and you put a plate of chicken on the tablecloth the whole time. And they're asking Rabbi Rapp if he ever heard of this minig. So Rabbi Rapp's like, nope, never heard of it. Okay, whatever. Then Reb Shmuel Shulman, he's like a big Talmud Chacham in Queens. He comes into Menachem Avol. He goes, yeah, I heard of that minig. And he takes out the Chachamus Adam, who writes, HaReza Midake HaAmori. Right? In other words, okay, there's such a minig out there. Fine, Zolzain. Right? Minig is Osius Gehenim. Fine. Now, that's Rabbi Ingle Tom's line. Now, the point is that there was a minhag of not going to the mikvah until day 40 or day 80. The Ramah says you shouldn't keep this minhag, right? B'makom she'ein minhag, you shouldn't be machmir. But if you have the minhag, ein lahatir b'makom she'nahagu lahachmir. He doesn't think it's a great minhag, but if you have the minhag already, so then you shouldn't get rid of it. Then the Acharonim try to figure out where this minhag comes from. Where does this minhag come from? And there are different mahalchim in where this minhag of not going to mikvah until after 40 or after 80. The Rivash says that since these days after having a baby, damim metzuyim be'isha, are times that women very see a great deal of blood. So therefore, according to the Rivash, that's why we're machmir. Because damim metzuyim be'isha, it's a time that you're going to see a lot of blood. That's why we should be machmir. Another reason why we should be machmir is because there's a Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara in Psachim says not to have Tashmish Hamitah night of 41 or night of 81. 41 after a boy, 81 after a girl. That's Psachim Dav Kuf Yud Gimel. There's a machlekes from Rishonim what that's about, no? Most Rishonim, 99.9% of Rishonim say that when the Gemara in Psachim Kuf Yud Gimel says that there's not to have Bia on Mem Aleph, that there's an Isser Bia will say, a mem aleph for a zachar, pay aleph for a nekeva. Moshe Shalom saying, you know what? The reason for this is very simple. You're being boel beforehand, even though she's bleeding. So day 80, she's bleeding, that's dam tohar. You're going to have Bia day 81, it's already dam tummy. People might make a mistake. Therefore, don't have Bia. Consequently, if that's the way Moshe Shalom understand it, in the situation when we're not being boel on dam tohar anyway, so there's no reason to refrain from bia on day 81. If you could not have bia if you're bleeding on day 80, so there's no reason to refrain on day 81. That is true. There was one day in Rishon, I think he quotes it from the Smag or the Smach, there's one day who treated this day of 80 or 81 as it's an onas haveses. There was such a day in Rishonim. It's a minority opinion, but there was such a day. Zok the Taz, the second reason why people would not have... Herzachzi, listen to this one. You have to scratch your head on this one. The reason why people would not go to the mikvah until after day 40 or after day 80 is a gezerah unto the onas havesis of 41 or 81. That we want to make sure people don't have bia on 41 or 81 because that's a required separation day. We haven't really discussed required separation days. We'll get there. But because that's a required separation day, people didn't have you shouldn't have bia then. And aga that day, they said, don't have bia on any day. Yeah?
Don't we see from this gemara that during the time of the gemara, they actually...
They were boel on dam tohar.
Right.
At least during that time, the Gemara, or the Gemara saying, Enochanami, so you're asking if it's a Chumra de Reb Zeira. We'd have to look at the names in those Gemara, the names in that Gemara Pesachim, are they before Reb Zeira, after Reb Zeira? Right? And we also saw that some Rishonim say that the Chumra de Reb Zeira wasn't nispashet right away. It took some time until it spread out to all of Klal Yisrael, but yeah, we'd have to do some research in that Gemara. Good point. Yeah? Yeah, so apparently there's some mitzius that... You have to say that there's some mitzius that the dam is going to be more blood by a girl than by a boy. It seems strange, no? There were, by the way, Rishonim, maybe in the Gemara, there are opinions who said that just like that, girls and boys are completely different. When we say that there's aboyim yom li yitziris havlad, that's only for boys, but girls was 80 days. There's some Rishonim who paralleled it. No, in Kabbalah's Ram, by the way, this I didn't see anywhere, but in Kabbalah's Ram it says that the reason why we require aboyim sa'ov a mikvah is connected to aboyim yom of yitziris havlad. If you look in the Baal HaTanya's Siddur Imdach, in the Shar HaMikvah, wherever he has over there, so he explains this. I'm too young to understand this. Keneged Arbaim Yom LeYitziras Havlad, right? And it's keneged the Arbaim Yom of etc. So what that means, according to those who assume that there's Shmoinim Yom LeYitziras and the Keva, thinking we should need 80 Sa'a by a mikvah, right? It's a little bit strange, no? The whole thing is strange. We don't understand any of it, but whatever. It's almost Purim, so we're allowed to say this type of stuff. Now. One guy, when I was in Kol HaOyel, we had a guy in the yeshiva who thought he was a Lubavitcher. He's like a strange guy. So he gave a chabura and mikvaos, and he tried to say this over. Rabbi Rosenzweig is sitting there, and he's like, what's going on? It's a very weird experience, yeah.
This is a crazy comment because there's no sedesis, therefore we're not the Tovel.
It is because of this one night of 41, so we're machmir not to be Tovel, right?
And it's only one Rishon, and we said both Rishon and explained.
Correct. Right. So, but that's one Mahalach. So far we have two Mahalachim as to why they are not Tovel. Two Mahalachim in this strange practice. To the best of my knowledge, there are no communities today who have this practice of not going to the mikvah until after 40 or 80. Certain communities, by the way, have practices not to go to the mikveh after a baby until after 4 weeks or 5 weeks, no matter what, because just the woman might not be, even if she's not bleeding, generally they bleed for a while, but even if she's not bleeding, just to get her stronger. That it could be very physically taxing, like she might become pregnant again. We don't want them to be too close together. So the Achronim, if you'll look in the Pischei Tshuvas, he quotes like from the Knei Bosem and all of these new Svarim, that they discuss what, how come this practice evolved that women don't go to the mikvah for at least 4 weeks after a baby. Yeah. No, so I think the idea is that you shouldn't be tovel. I mean that we basically you'll go to the mikvah. Some places have a passage they don't go to the mikvah until after 40. I guess it means that what, that they would do their shiva nakim after 40. And then not go to mikvah until after that. Maybe you have to say something. We're going to have to say something like that for the next explanation also. In other words, you have to arrange not to have be on day 41 or day 81. That's the ikkar. And this minhag was coming to protect that practice. Then the Taz quotes a third mahalach, no? The third mahalach is like this, that Rabbeinu Tam says... Rabbeinu Tam paskins that you may lay the she'ena. Rabbeinu Tam paskins gabaya. Thank you. Right. Rabbeinu Tam paskins that you may lay the she'eno she'en roa bahen. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's eno ola lecheshbin. So I can't keep shiva nikiyim during the days when I'm not seeing gum. And therefore, according to Rabbeinu Tam, for a woman to start keeping her shiva nikiyim, she would have to first go to the mikvah after, let's say, day 14, when she has a girl, and only then could she keep her shiva nikiyim. Since our women don't go to the mikvah after day 14, so mamela, they can't keep shiva nikiyim at all. And therefore, they waited until the end of all Yemei Leida before they would go to the mikvah. That's what the Taz basically suggests. So this chumrah is a chumrah out the Rabbeinu Tam. The Taz doesn't like it. He says, well, we don't pass like the Rabbeinu Tam, etc. But again, so according to Rabbeinu Tam, I can't keep shiva nikiyim until my Yemei Tuma have ended. My Yemei Tuma don't end just on day 14. It ends on day 14 when I go to the mikvah. Right? But they're not going to go to the mikvah during these entire time of day of the next 33 or the next 66 days. They won't go to the mikvah. Why not? I don't know. Apparently, they would only go to the mikvah after day 80, and only then could they start shiva nikiyim. Lechora, they can't. In other words, if I hold like the Rabbeinu Tam, I can't go to the mikvah. This is the cat. I'm presenting this shita the way with the Darkei Moshe, and Darkei Moshe's kasha on this shita, no? Darkei Moshe basically says, well, Oy Bazoi should be 87, not 80. Right? In other words, that what you need is that you go to the mikvah, and after you go to the mikvah, so then you could start counting your. Where's my Darkei Moshe? What? This is one of the ways the Darkei Moshe defends this practice. The name that we could attach to this is the Ramo himself says it. He says Li Nira that it's based on the Rabbeinu Tam. No, since the Yemei Leida She'ena Ola Behen don't count for Shiva Nikiyim, that's why they used to go to the mikvah twice. Memela. We would have to wait not to go to the mikvah. They would count it that all 80 days it can't be Yotzei Shiva Nikiyim. So then they'd go to the mikvah after day 80. But that should also mean that they could not keep Shiva Nikiyim until after day 80. And there is no minhag like that. This is all part of the Darkei Moshe's kasha on this approach. Okay, B'kitzur HaMa'aseh, we have three mahalchim to defend this strange minhag. The strange minhag of not going to the mikvah until after day 40 or after day 80. Now, says the Simla, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Sif Katan Daled, that he has a different mahalach. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch wants to say like this. Really, really the issue is that the reason why they wouldn't go to the mikvah until after day 40 or after day 80 is because, you know what, we said earlier from the Dago Meirevava, that if I go to the mikvah by Yimei Toihar, I'm not going to make a bracha. Says the Simla, everybody knows that when you do a mitzvah without a bracha, you're not as careful with it as you should be. Right? That's a davar yadua. So therefore, since they wouldn't make a bracha if they'd go to the mikvah during these days, so therefore people want to be careful in the tevila. Therefore the rabbis felt, don't be toivel at all. Right? This idea, by the way, that if I do a mitzvah without a bracha, I'm not so careful in it, we all know this from our own lives. If you've ever missed a day of Sfiras HaOmer, right? So you're supposed to count without a bracha. What happens in those situations? Let's be honest. You miss a day of Sfira, you're supposed to count without a bracha, so inevitably you end up not counting. Right? Rav Soloveitchik said, this is the reason for the Hasidic practice of not sitting in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, no? I should say the non-reason for the Hasidic practice. Because since the Gemara says, Hilchos HaYisuvi Yasvinon, Bruch Elom Avarchinon, or the Gaonim, or the Rabbanon Savaroi, who redacted the Gemara, they had that line, whatever it is, that they say, Yisuvi Yasvinon, Bruch Elom Avarchinon, that we sit in the sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, you don't make a bracha, so when I sit in the sukkah without a bracha, what happens is you don't take the mitzvah seriously. Any mitzvah you do without sitting in the sukkah, any mitzvah you do without a bracha, you don't take seriously. So if I don't take it seriously, the whole mitzvah falls by the wayside. Similarly, Reb Moshe and the Tshuva, that's what it says in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, as the reason for this Hasidic practice. In Amsa, there is one Rishon who has the practice of not singing the Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, no? Yehuzi Tan Avraham, Chaim Soloveitchik, he's always pointing this out in class, that Yehuzi Tan Avraham does have it, so it's not completely unheard of. The Yehusei Tanoim Va'amoraim. It's a great sefer, a strange sefer. But it's sort of like essays on different topics that in alphabetical order. I think we only have it through letter Yod.
Alphabetical order of the names of the Tanoim.
The names of Tanoim, but he also has like names of topics. He has like something about coins or something, about some coins.
He puts it within the names of people and has essays.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yehusei Tanoim Va'amoraim. It's on the names of the people, and he just gives you these strange essays here.
Risha?
What?
Is Risha?
Yeah. It's one of the German Rishonim from the Klonimus family. There's like 9 million Klonimuses and Yakims and Klonimuses. Those are everybody's names. Yeah, I'm Ephraim.
A question on the similar. He says no bracha because she wouldn't be as careful with it.
Since we wouldn't make a bracha, right, on the tevila, and we know that whenever I do a mitzvah without a bracha, I don't do the mitzvah seriously. So therefore, the rabbi said, don't do it at all. Since they wouldn't treat the tevilah seriously, so therefore the rabbi said, don't be tevil at all.
Okay, so, what would happen if she goes to mikvah and she's not so careful?
So they'd be in violation, let's say, of the chumr of the Gaonim, or they'd be in violation of may the chumr of Reb Zeira. They would be violating something. If she would go to the mikvah, she wouldn't be careful about going to the mikvah. They'd end up violating something. And to avoid that violation, they say, don't go to the mikvah at all.
No, but they're not violating the chumra. They go to mikvah.
What? Right? Huh?
The Gaonim says she should go to mikvah, right?
Who says?
The Gaonim.
The Gaonim would say she should go to the mikvah. She should go to the mikvah and not make a bracha. And we know, just human nature is, that when I do a mitzvah without a bracha, I won't take the mitzvah seriously. So in order to avoid that, they said, you know what, don't go to the mikveh at all. Right? That's what the Simla suggests. And we see other examples of this, like Sfiras HaOmer, like Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. Reb Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva also about someone who couldn't wear tefillin all day at work. The only time you can wear tefillin is like very, very early in the morning before Amud HaShachar. So Reb Moshe, it's Orech Haim Simin Yod, he says, you know what, you can put on tefillin then, right? And he writes, you can even make a bracha when you put it on, because you'll be somech on the day of Rabbeinu Peretz or something to make a bracha. Even though it's against Shulchan Aruch, he says, because I can't tell you to do a mitzvah without a bracha, because if I tell you to do the mitzvah without a bracha, you wouldn't end up wearing tefillin. That's what Rav Moshe writes in that tshuva. So we see this idea. We've all experienced it. And when we do mitzvahs without brachas, we don't take the mitzvah as seriously as we could. So that's one approach of the Simla in Sifkat and Dalet. The second approach of the Simla in Sifkat and Dalet says is that, you know what, how come they decided not to go to the mikveh at all until after day 40 or after day 80? Zuck the Simla because of the Taz. In other words, since the Taz says that it's impossible for the rabbis to make a gezeira against a dover that's mefurish in Chumash is an institution of Dimei Tahara, with at least 66 days of Tahar. The rabbis can't say not to be Boel on Dam Tohar. Because if the rabbis would say that, that would be a violation of rabbinic authority. That would be terrible. They can't do it. So Mamele, you know what the rabbis said? Don't go to the mikveh at all. If you don't go to the mikveh at all, you're not having bia, so that you're just not having bia because you didn't go to the mikveh. So we're not violating the din. If you would have gone to the mikveh and not had bia when you see the dam, that would be a violation of the din. Right? It's a funny simile, no? But in order to protect the Taz, the Simla says, that was the reason for this minhag. Right? Yeah?
It sounds beautiful, but which rabbis actually said you should wait until after 40
or 80? Karaite rabbis.
Exactly. So then, are there any Rishonim besides Rambam who even bring up the issue?
Who bring up the... I don't remember. Are there other Rishonim who bring it? The Rambam says it was a milling nafut, and the Rambam says don't keep the milling. I don't remember if there's other Rishonim who say not to.
So
Trying to defend a very difficult minhag that probably has makar makom el tameh. It probably has carried origins, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the Beis Yosef quotes the Ma'arik.
The Ma'arik defended.
He says it's from like a posek echad.
They heard it from from this unnamed posek. We don't know who. No, but this unnamed posek tried to defend it. That's the way he quotes it. No.
Right. So he argues and he says therefore he's not.
But I don't know if there's any. Notice what Ephraim says. Is there any name that we could attribute to this minhag? I don't know. But we have now five mahalchim to try to defend what's basically a very difficult minhag. Okay. I don't know. Let's move on. If Beis and Shulchan Aruch. I thought we'd finish all of Yoledes today. We'll try to do a little bit more, but we probably won't finish. Okay. Hamapelas. The din is that a Yoledes has to wait 7 days for a Zachar and 14 days for a Nekeva. If you have a Nefel, you also have to wait, providing the Nefel is after 40 days of development. No? Hamapeles, a baby that is 41 days old. Now, by the way, in English, we distinguish between an embryo and a fetus. That distinction in most medical books emerges around day 56 of development, but it's roughly the equivalent of Chazal's day 40 of development, meaning to say that from day 56 and on, they assume that the baby is going to be viable. Within the first 56 days, they assume it's not viable, and they use a different term, fetus versus embryo. Chazal don't draw the line at 56, they draw the line at 40, but it might be the same type of idea. That's what the Nishim Savram writes. There are many women who have spontaneous miscarriages early on in pregnancy. They might not even know that they miscarried. Could be their period is going to be a few days late. What that means is that they were shtickle pregnant. Right? That's a little joke. You can't be a shtickle pregnant, but they were. Right? They were pregnant with something, and then they miscarried. Fine. Mishnah says, the Mishnah says that Mapelas Toichar Ba'im, right? So then we're not Choshesh for a Vlad at all. But Mapelas La'acha Arba'im, but if you have a Nefel after 40 days, so then we are Choshesh for a Vlad, and then we have to keep days of Tuma, right? We'll have to treat like a Nekeva because we don't know if it's a Zohar in Nekeva, and etc. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, day 40. Now, how do I measure 40 days? How do I measure 40 days? So Rashi writes in Maseches Nida that the Arba'im Yom that I measure is Arba'im Yom Mishas Tevila. That's what Rashi comments. L'chayra, that makes sense, no? If a woman went to the mikvah, that means she was in Nida beforehand. If she was in Nida, she wasn't pregnant, right? And we know in Mitzvah that the time that you're most likely to become pregnant is right after going to the mikvah. So, Rashi's Shita, Arba'im Yom Mishas Tevila. The Rambam doesn't say Mishas Tevila. This is, by the way, if you look in the Gilyon Maharsha here, he points this out, no? Gilyon Maharsha on the side of the page, quotes Rashi on Daf Lamed, says it's Mishas Tevila, but the Rambam says it's Mishas Tashmish. Now, the Sefer Avodas HaGershuni. Now, Avodas HaGershuni was with Gershon Ashkenazi, who was a Chavrusa of the Shach's father. So l'cha'ora means the first tashmish after tevila, or it might mean that the husband was away for a very long time, and right from the time that they had tashmish, maybe even before tevila, we're not sure 100% what the Rambam means. Fine. We're not sure 100%. Now, why am I saying we're not sure 100%? L'chora, the idea of making a cheshbon from Shas to Vila is eminently reasonable. That she wasn't pregnant beforehand. That's why she went to the mikvah. Yes and no. Yes and no. The Avodas HaGershuni agrees with this. The Avodas HaGershuni, who was the Gershon Ashkenazi, who was a chavrus of the Shach's father, the Avodas HaGershuni says that we always make the cheshbon of pregnancy from mikvah time, which, by the way, is the way the doctors today calculate, no? When you want to find out how long are you pregnant, they calculate it from mikvah time, no? From the last mikvah date. That's the way doctors calculate it. I don't know what they do for non-Jews who are... the ultrasounds are...
You just go back to when you do it from the last period.
From the last period, and then, okay...
They do.
Huh?
They do from the end of the last period.
From the end of the last period. Same type of, but basically it's going to end up about the same, a few days off. But the point is that the Avodas HaGershuni says that we make the cheshbon from Shas Tevila because the fact that she went to the mikvah is a raya that she wasn't pregnant. Frek the Chavastas here in Sifkot and Aleph. And frekt all of the poskim. Whoa. Oh, actually, Chavistah Sifkat and Beis. I'm sorry. Chavistah says, that's not true. We know that the halacha in Vestos is that during the first 3 months of pregnancy, a woman can still, can even establish a Vestos. The first 3 months of pregnancy, a woman can see dam. And this is not unheard of. I googled last night, first trimester bleeding. First trimester bleeding is not so uncommon. Now, first trimester bleeding is not a period. Right? You're right. Once you're pregnant, biologically speaking, you can't get your period. That's 100% true. But that doesn't mean you can't bleed. Sometimes the bleeding is going to be blood that occurs at implantation. At the time that the embryo is implanted into the uterine lining, so there could be a little bit of blood. Sometimes it's bleeding from who knows what. But it's not unheard of to have first trimester bleeding. And the din in Kufpei Tes is that you're even Koveya Aveses. So therefore, if the bleeding is not unheard of, right? So you can't tell me that just because she went to the mikvah doesn't, just because she went to the mikvah, that means she wasn't pregnant beforehand. Adaraba, no? Adaraba, right? You could go to the mikvah even when you're pregnant. So therefore, the Achronim say, right, everyone disagrees with this pshat of the Avodas HaGershuni. Everyone disagrees with the Avodas HaGershuni. They say, no, it's not correct. We don't assume that we make the cheshbon of 40 days from the time that you went to the mikvah. What about the Rashi? Rashi says that. Says the Sidrei Tahara, maybe Rashi is talking about going to the mikvah after Leda. then we know you're not pregnant. If you just had a baby and you went to the mikvah, we talk and know you're not pregnant. Is that true? Is that true? The Binyan Sion asks, maybe you had a baby, right? Or you had a nafel and you went to the mikvah, and there's another one inside. When the Gemara says, Eina Isha Misaberes, or Chozeresu Misaberes, that means a two Vladil Shokayama. But it could be they'll both be in the Nefalim. That's the Binyan Sion's Kasha. That's a strong Kasha. But the standard answer is that when Rashi says that we're talking about Mapeles, La'achar, we're talking about Arba'im Yom, La'achar Tevila, that's because we're talking about, we're not saying that going to the mikvah is proof positive that you were not pregnant beforehand. No, you could go to the mikvah and you would be pregnant before. You could go to the mikvah only if you were pregnant. The Sheva Talevi, though, Lemaisa, seems to paskin like the Rashi and like the Avodas HaGershuni. He says, any time that you're going to have bleeding during the first trimester, I'm not sure if this is true, it won't be a real period, he says. It might be a kesem. Maybe by a kesem, you could say, okay, she had a kesem, but she was still pregnant. But if she mamish has a flow, that's not going to happen. Or, right, the Sheva Talevi writes that today everybody knows that once a woman is pregnant, she won't see any dam. It's really not so true. She'll see dam. First trimester bleeding can appear like it's mamish, a period. I don't fully understand what the Sheva Talevi is saying. But what we can say is what Chacham Ovadia says in the Taharas Abayis. We could say that if she took a pregnancy test and she knows she's not pregnant beforehand, right? So then, if we knew she wasn't pregnant, so an Enochanam, it could be 40 days from the Tevila. That we could say. That we would rely on the pregnancy tests, le'inyin this, to prove that she wasn't pregnant. Now, why is this important? This is very important in terms of Hilchos Pidyon HaBen, no? The child that comes after one of these early miscarriages, does that child get a Pidyon HaBen or not? So, ba'achar ha'nefalim, the Mishnah discusses whether it gets Pinyon HaBen. So we pass in the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Hei Sif Chaf Gimel that we give the child a Pinyon HaBen Misafik if he's Ba'achar HaNefel, only if that Nefel is Merukam Be'ivarim, only if the Nefel already has its limbs. It looks like a human being. Only then do we not do Pinyon HaBen at all. Usually we do a Pinyon HaBen without a bracha in these situations. That's the Pashta. So we do a Pinyon HaBen without a bracha. If it's a Nefel before 40 days, we do a Pinyon HaBen with a bracha. A Nefel after 40 days until Merukam Be'evarim, we'll do Pidyon without a bracha. That's the standard practice. That's the standard practice. But you have to know 40 days from when. Right? Or Merukam Be'evarim usually is around the 12th or 13th week of pregnancy. For that, you can rely on the ultrasound. Everyone says that. You see it. You see that the baby looks like something. These shailas do come up. These shailas do come up about Ba'achar HaNefalim in terms of Pidyon HaBen. Yeah. If the Nefel was within 40 days, then we do Pidyon HaBen with a bracha. But if the Nefel is after 40 days, so then we won't do Pidyon HaBen with a bracha. We'll do Pidyon HaBen without a bracha until the Nefel is Merukam Be'evarim. Yeah.
But where's the Rashi?
The Rashi? Rashi,
yeah.
Daf Lamed in Nida.
Where?
Daf Lamed.
On
this Mishnah, Hamapelis betoch arba'im, right? Rashi says arba'im letfilasa. Shulchan is just quoting a Mishnah straight up.
So you're saying it's reasonable to assume that he's talking about a specific case where she goes to mikvah?
I don't think that's so reasonable, but in order to fit this in with what we know about Vestos in general, we'd have to say something along these lines. Now, just one last issue. It'll take 48 seconds or... The Nishmas Avram decides to add a wrinkle to this. He says 40 days, let's say 40 days from the Tevila, right? The way Rashi says it. And Wilson was 40 days from the Tevila if you knew you weren't pregnant beforehand. But the Gemara says that sometimes it could take 3 days for Klitas Hazara. So if I have a baby that's born, right, at day 41 or 42, I don't know for sure that that's a 40-day-old fetus. Because it could be, it's a fetus less than 40 days, because it took 3 days until the sperm penetrated the egg, until there was fertilization. No? So this is the kasha that he asked. And therefore, in these situations, he was makel. If a baby is 42 days old, he was makel because there are going to be three different sphakos. He's makel that you just treat the woman like a regular nida. You don't treat her like a yoledes. Why? One suffix is klitas hazera. Next suffix is that even if the baby comes out after 42 days, maybe the baby died at day 38 or 39, and it just took a few days for the baby to come out. And then the third issue is maybe the baby was a boy, right? In other words, the only nafkamina is going to be 7 days or 14 days, really, right? Because we'll keep Shiva Nakim no matter what. So in terms of, so he quotes that Rav Neubert was Makon, a 42-day-old fetus, 42 days after she went to the mikvah, he was Makon based on these three different sphakos to just treat her like a regular nida. Let's take the question after. Go ahead. Does anyone know how to turn this off?
You were right, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.